Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you, Ron. Thank you all for joining us today. I have a variety of different forms of prosperity that I experience on a regular basis. And last week, I actually had meeting prosperity. You know, that's when you have meeting. And I thought to myself that when the pandemic started, surely things would slow down. But oh no, we must always check our assumptions. That assumption was woefully incorrect. So anyway, I'm a high extrovert and I get to spend time in a lot of meetings. So it really works for me. But something peculiar happened at the Wednesday night nominations team meeting. Because right now we have this great team that is soliciting candidates to serve on our board of trustees. It might be you. Don't be surprised if you get a call. Anyway, so I'm on the Zoom call and I'm looking at the participants and realize I'm the only guy on the call. So I said, is it okay if I crash the ladies' meeting? And there was affirmation because we're an inclusive community. And then it hit me and I said, I know. I'll be the bearded lady. So there you go. So that's how my meeting prosperity flowed all of last week. So I want to talk about time and what we sometimes refer to as the slow work of God. And if you've ever been in a poorly run meeting, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But in particular, I want to talk about 72 years. Because a lot can happen in 72 years. A whole life can be lived. An empire can rise and fall, and a divine idea can come to manifestation. I want to talk about a divine idea that had been around for quite a while, but was put down on paper at what's referred to as the Seneca Falls Convention that took place July 19th and 20th, 1848. This was a convention of men and women that took place in Seneca Falls, New York, that came together to organize a very ambitious project. The project of getting women the right to vote in the United States. That's referred to as suffrage, and the puppies eventually kind of figured it out. It's not really about suffering, but rather the word suffrage itself comes from the Latin word suffragium, which simply means ballot. They wanted the ballot. What emerged of that meeting was what's referred to as the Declaration of Sentiments, based on the Declaration of Independence. I'd like to share just a short snippet of it with you. And it begins like this. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one portion of the family of man to assume among the people of earth a position different from that which they have hitherto occupied, but one to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes that impel them to such a course. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men and women are created equal. And they go on to make the case using the same style as the Declaration of Independence. And here's just one final snippet. Having deprived her of this first right of a citizen, the elective franchise, thereby leaving her without representation in the halls of legislation, he has oppressed her on all sides. Well, my goodness. That set up a process that took 72 years until August 18th of 1920, 100 years ago this week, when Tennessee became the 36th state and the final one required to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. Now, there's an interesting story. It only passed by one vote. A particular delegate, Harry Byrne, a 24-year-old legislator, had decided to vote against the amendment. But he switched his vote while on the floor of the legislature because of a letter he received from his mother urging him to to be a good boy. No kidding, that's what it said. And to vote accordingly. The 19th Amendment was certified, that is made actually written in the documents where it needs to be, on August 26, a day which now is referred to as Women's Equality Day. I'd like to share with you the entire text of the 19th Amendment. And it reads like this. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. And that's it. It didn't change everything overnight, but it certainly was a marker in a journey of 72 years. Now, it's interesting that when Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, was pressed to write a statement of faith for the growing Unity Movement, he published what's called the Unity 32-Point Statement of Faith in April of 1921, 8 months after the ratification of the 19th Amendment. And I want to share with you what point number 16 said. It said, "We believe that the Holy Mother, the divine feminine, is now being restored to her righteousness, and that she will reign equal with Jehovah in the heavens and the earth." 8 months after the 19th Amendment. Now, in a student paper written by ministerial students in 2007 entitled, "What Do We Believe? The Story of Unity, Statement of Faith, and Basic Unity Principles," the authors say this. Some Christians might see this as referring to Mary, the mother of Jesus, as articulated in Catholic theology. This position was intended to remind Fillmore's audience that he viewed God as spirit or principle, not as a gendered being. And it was not the only time he wrote on the subject. On January 16, 1916, he delivered a Sunday morning address entitled, "The Restorative Work of the Divine Feminine." This consciousness of the value and the worth and the power of feminine energy was deeply embedded in the Unity Movement from its very beginnings. And part of what Charles and his wife, co-founder of the Unity Movement, Myrtle Fillmore, taught both explicitly and implicitly was to honor the sacredness of the feminine. If you were with us last week, you'll know I spoke about Myrtle Fillmore as an empowered, college-educated career woman who began her working life in the 1860s, quite ahead of her time. So if you missed that talk, it's a good one. Go back and watch it on our archives. I'm just saying. Now, Charles Fillmore, her husband, was raised from an early age by a single mother, living on the frontier after the family was deserted by his father. As a child, when he was 10 years old, he had a skating accident that precluded him from going to school, so he, on his own, found tutors, women tutors, who taught him to read, taught him all manner of things, which left a lasting impression on him, which was probably a good thing since he married a very professional career woman. So why is any of this important to us as Unity Truth students seeking to live a spiritual life? We often say in New Thought circles that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I believe that to have life and have it abundantly as Jesus advocated, then it becomes imperative for us to honor both experiences, human and spiritual, in their masculine and feminine forms, to honor the earthly as well as the heavenly. It kind of reminds me of the interplay between Unity's second and fifth principles. I've spoken on this recently, but I wanted to bring it up again. So let's look at a couple ways Unity's second principle is languaged. One of them is, we are individualized expressions of God. Our divine potential and spiritual essence are called the Christ. And secondly, human beings have a spark of divinity within them, the Christ spirit within. And our fifth principle, phrased in two different ways, through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know, or we must put spiritual truth into practice in order to change our lives. So I'm using the 19th Amendment and the idea of divine feminine and a reference to the role of women in the founding and the origin of the unity movement to emphasize this moral imperative each of us has to question our assumptions about others, to be willing to discover our biases. We are very often blind to our own, and to engage the practice of respecting others. Even if the other, for hundreds, if not thousands of years, was judged to be the weaker sex. You see, just that idea alone has taken years and is still taking effort to unseat. And in our unity movement, it's not so much a problem. We have always been based on the equality of the genders. There's another line I would like to invite you to be aware of as well. This comes from the parable, the goats and the sheep, recorded in the book of Matthew, in which we have Jesus telling a parable that includes this line. And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you have done it to me." How do we honor the Christ within others? And are we even aware when we are dishonoring it? I want to tell a story of my own life experience of awakening to an unintentional bias that I thought was funny. Well, it wasn't. Well, maybe in some parts. But it was something I needed to learn. Prior to coming into Unity, I had a sense of humor that was a little more bawdy than it is today. Maybe I'll just leave it at that and not incriminate myself any further. And one of the types of jokes I used to love to tell were jokes that made reference to people from Poland. There's a word that you know that we would tell that would describe a person from Poland. I'd never really met anybody from Poland, by the way. So imagine my surprise when I got my first job out of college and I was serving as a steamship line agent. And our client was Polish Ocean Lines, the formerly state-owned Polish shipping company. And we had four ships in our rotation, and in the 9.5 years I was in the international container transportation business, that was our main customer. And I got to know these incredibly intelligent, well-traveled, well-spoken individuals who were kind and generous, and not a one of them seemed to reflect the punchlines of the jokes I had been telling. And I remember awakening one day and realizing, I can't tell those jokes anymore. And then I thought, oh my goodness, who else am I telling jokes about? What other stereotypes am I perpetuating? How might I inadvertently be affirming an us and them? And then I realized, this isn't funny. It was humbling to awaken to that fact, and fortunately, I had already, by that point, entered Unity. And you don't have to come to Unity to realize that respect is a basic thing that we can all give to one another. But for me, it became a spiritual practice to be aware of and monitor my speech about other groups. Because I was keenly aware that as a minority in some other people's eyes, I was targeted. Some of my family's Jewish. I have Jewish heritage. I'm gay. I've heard a lot of gay jokes. They're not really funny if they are intended to hurt and intended to divide. So this is how we utilize and tie in our fifth and second principles as we consider the backdrop of 100 years of women's right to vote. And coincidentally, we are also acknowledging this weekend 100 years of the origin of the Negro Leagues Baseball League in our nation. I remember one year, not too long ago, I think it was last year, Tim Harps, a member of our community, talked about a family member of his who played in the Negro Leagues. And what an eye-opening story that was. And I'm so grateful that Major League Baseball is acknowledging and celebrating the contributions of these players to the sport, to America's pastime. Maybe it will be more of America's pastime. So the homework that I've had to do, that I don't have to do, I've chosen to do because I want to be a better person. I want to be better at letting my Christ light shine, is to be mindful as much as I possibly can of what I'm thinking about this group or that group or this person or that person or even myself. Because those thoughts translate into actions. And I want my actions to be bridging, connecting, healing. And I don't want to inadvertently cause division or separation. So that's what we are charged to do. That's the imperative. To ask ourselves, what am I thinking? You know, to actually listen to what we're saying and realize, is this a habitual comment that I haven't even thought about? Or is this something I truly believe or feel? How am I honoring that Christ spirit within others? And it's not just an individual other who might be right near me. It's others around the world. And as in my story, I had never met anybody from Poland. And I was dishonoring the Christ in them. And in that process, dishonoring the Christ in me. So how does that work? You know, if we are honest in our due diligence, in our inventory taking, as we say in some circles, the answer to some of these questions may draw attention to the different disconnects between what we say we believe and what we say we preach and what we actually do and how we live our lives and how we treat others. And that's the good news. The good news is to discover the disconnect, because when you find it, then you can do something about it. It's no longer denied. It's no longer hidden. It's right there. And so this sort of work and this sort of question is not designed to make anybody feel wrong or bad, although for a time it might smart, but rather it highlights our potential to continue to grow, to continue to let our light shine, and to continue to co-create a world that works for everybody. Yes, a world that works for everybody. You know, I love our vision and mission statements here at Unity of Fairfax. Our vision is we are see the world awakened to peace, abundance, and respect for all creation. That calls us to action. In our mission statement, we are vibrant spiritual community awakening each life to the Christ within, implies that we are taking action. So that's it. Our first action is always right here, what's going on? And right here, what's going on? And then to discern, what do we do out there? How do we live the truth we know by honoring the Christ within all? So I'm starting my little mini sabbatical, 3 weeks, as soon as I walk out the door. But I will tell you that part of what I will be doing is really examining in my soul. What do I really believe? What am I called to do? And then looking at what am I going to do? That's my homework. And as a matter of fact, since I'm such a high extrovert, I'm going to give you that same homework. When I get back in September, we'll see where we are. Happy Women's Equality Day. Happy celebration of Negro Leagues Baseball. Have a blessed and beautiful 3 weeks, everyone. I miss you already. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.